to meet you.
A few questions there for you, mate.
Sure.
How have you enjoyed Australia so far?
Oh, man, I went to Rabideau's game last night.
Really?
Cool. Yeah, it's great. Just get over at ANZ.
Did they get beat last night?
Not bad, yeah.
Yeah, that's
pretty bad.
I don't know if Russell's still involved with him, but yeah, they've been going pretty well. But
yeah, I thought they were, like, I was like, I had a, somebody gave me a member's hat,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I was like, cool, man, I got my Rabideau's hat, like, I'm ready to go, and I go over to the game, and they got beat, I was like.
So you're beating the Tigers?
Yeah.
Yeah. You going out to baseball?
No, I mean, you know, I live in LA, so I don't need
you've got that all the time.
To see the Dodgers.
Fair enough. Yeah. Someone has kicked this off. Have you had a chance to sample the work of our local pastry chefs at all?
Only here, just at the show. And I tell you, man, some of these cakes are impressive. They're really, really impressive. When I was in culinary school, we actually studied Australia and New Zealand wedding cakes. It's a thing.
Really?
It's a style.
Yep.
You guys down here make incredible string work.
Mm-hmm.
All the royal icing piping.
Yep.
If you look at the cakes that are in the entry here, and I don't even know if this is the best of Australia, but if you look at these, they're absolutely incredible. The level of detail that some of these pastry chefs have done is really outstanding. Like where anybody, and I mean, like, you know, we're the best in the business, and like, you know, my guys would be like, wow, that's pretty good. it is impressive.
Yeah. And that'd be a great encouragement to our local guys, because
what's that?
That'd be a great encouragement to our local people. I mean,
we spent a week studying Australian string work.
Yeah,
that was it, you know, and it was it was probably the most frustrating week of my life. Oh man, it was crazy, but it's really exciting for me to see it in person, because you know, here's this thing that when I was in culinary school, and I was young, I was you know, what, 20, you know. And I was studying this thing, and it's like this idea of Australia just exists so far away. And to be here now and to see it in person and to actually understand, like, oh, I get it.
Yep.
This is amazing. Mm. I mean, really just amazing. It's really it's really cool for me, you know. I mean, really, like, you know, a lot of times people expect me to be sort of like jaded or like sick of cakes or sort of talking about cakes or whatever. Mm. It's like, I love cakes. You know, it's like, you know, and to come and see this, it's like, it's, you know, it's such a rush, you know, to see this thing, you know, this idea, this thing that I had to study so long ago. And now it's like, here, I'm seeing it in person, and I'm seeing the masters that do it. It's really incredible.
What's the muse, the inspiration that keeps that going for you?
You know, honestly, it's the people that want cakes from us. You know, like, I'm like, you know, it's weird because, like, we're basically like a computer, right? Like, you tell the computer what you want it to do, and then it does it, right? So, like, you tell a computer to do something because you can't do it, you need, you know, some weird computation or a CAD drawing or, you know, whatever, right? So basically, people come to me and say, listen, this is what I want. Mm. I can't make it, but you can. So, and so it's really, it's not my imagination. Mm. It's the imagination of all my customers.
Yeah.
So that's really what, now, within that, I mean, I don't mean to say like we're like cold and impersonal. Yeah. We're just sort of drones. Mm. But that's where, you know, the inspiration for a cake, that's where it comes from. It does, like, you know, we're not making cakes for, like, for fun.
Yeah.
Like, just like, oh, let's just make this cake and see if somebody buys it. I mean, you know, every cake that we make, somebody has asked us to make something.
So it's like expanding on their vision or your interpretation of
it. Like, they describe to me what they want, and then I just set it down on paper, show it to them, is this what you're looking for? And they're like, yes.
Yeah.
And then we do it.
So how do you balance the celebrity against sort of the legacy, like, of you influencing the next generation? How do you balance that? But the demands of you know, the celebrity with what's happened with your company, and then trying to also at the same time pass on the legacy. So you inspire the next generation.
You know, the celebrity part of it, you just, like, it is what it is.
Yep.
You know, I try not to really, like, believe it.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like, once you start believing that stuff, then, like, you kind of turn into a douchebag.
Yep.
You know, like, it's just, I don't want to believe it. You know, I mean, I'm, you know, like, you know, I wake up every day and you know, thank the sky for you know, letting me win the lottery, basically. I mean, you know, I worked really hard to get where I was, you know, and you know, definitely, you know, I've, my career has been, you know, very self-made. I mean, you know, my dad's a businessman. My mom's an artist. Mm. I mean, you know, I don't come from a family of cake decorators or bakers or anything. And I started this business against my dad's will, against my, you know, nobody thought I could do this. Mm. And I, you know, I started a business myself with no money. Mm. I didn't take out a loan. Yep. Had nothing to do. Mm. I just made a cake. I sold my first cake. And with that, with the money I made from the first cake, I bought cake pans. Mm. I bought a KitchenAid. Mm. And I created this business. So, you know, I definitely am very aware of the work that I put into. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like, getting put on television is a very fortunate thing. You know, mm-hmm. It's an amazing thing. And I'm not, like, downplaying it. But it was a very fortunate, you know, happy event. You know, it was very it's a good word. It was very serendipitous.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I was making amazing stuff.
Yeah.
I wasn't trying to be famous. I was just making cakes that were beyond what people were used to. And hiring all my friends, and we're all musicians, so we're all weirdos, right? We're all tattoos and piercings and crazy. And so I had this group of weirdos who were incredible artists, and we were making crazy cakes.
Yep.
I didn't know any other cake decorators. I wasn't friends with any of them. Like, you know, all the other traditional cake decorators, like, who the hell are these guys? Bunch of weirdos, you know? And I wasn't, like, trying to change an industry. I wasn't trying to get famous. I wasn't trying to do anything but run a business, be in a band, you know, live life, do my thing. And and so then what happened was, you know, the Food Network found me, and they said, wow, here's somebody doing something different, you know, really something unique. And that was really cool. You know, they realized that we weren't in it for anything except for the love of what we were doing.
Yeah.
You know,
which I guess your attitude keeps the staff grounded too, like your friends grounded.
And vice versa.
Yep.
You know, like anytime I get at all, they knock me down so fast. You know, they really keep my feet on the ground too. I mean, it's that goes both ways. But you know, they definitely take their cues from me, and I'm like, you guys, listen. We could all be line cooks making $7 an hour in some restaurant.
Yes,
but we're not.
Yep.
We have an incredible business that spans the globe, and we do amazing work. And everybody, there's, you know, 100+ countries where people know who we are.
Mm.
That is a great. That's an incredible achievement.
It's a privilege, isn't it?
It's a privilege. Yeah. It's something to be thankful for. It's not something to be. It's like I never expect any of it. So anyway, like the celebrity stuff, like. You know, like when I come to a show like this and people, you know, really excited, seem really, you know, really, you know, super stoked, like, it's awesome. Mm. And I try to give those guys the best experience possible. But at the same time, out of the 1,000 people that I'm going to take a picture with today, there's going to be like 5 or 6 that are going to stick with cake decorating.
And that's the thing, isn't it?
Those 5 or 6, those are the ones that I want to, like, eye contact, and I want to have a real conversation with, and really, like, I want to talk to them. I want to, like, if they have a question, I want to answer it, you know, and I hope to inspire them, you know, and not just cake decorators, too. I mean, you know, like, again, I started a business with nothing, and people see that, like, you know, I'm not anything special. I'm not smart. I'm kind of smart, but not, like, you know. Einstein's smart. I'm just regular smart. And, you know, I'm just like a regular guy. I'm a guy who started a business to pay my rent so I could be in a band to play music. And I made more correct decisions than incorrect decisions. Mm. So my business did okay.
Yeah.
And we took off. And, you know, way before TV, we were doing great. We were profitable. It was a real business. And so people see that, and they see that story, and they can relate to me in a way that's like, well, you know, here's a guy who, like, started with absolutely zero.
Mm.
I mean, I started in my apartment, nothing.
Mm.
And I'm not saying I was poor and destitute. Yeah. I mean, I was doing great. I was actually a personal chef for a family. I was making a lot of money. I mean, I was making a good income, so I was able to, you know, get the business off the ground, but. you know, it was, I started a business, and I was 20-something, you know, early 20s when I started. And so other people have seen that, and they're like, you know, I don't like my job of sitting in this cubicle and answering phones or typing or data entry or pumping gas or whatever it is. I want to start a business, and if that idiot can do it, you know, I can do it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you know, that's that. That almost more, like, I don't know. I don't know what jazzes me more is, like, the cake decorators or just people that decided to sort of cut and run, you know, and, like, leave the business and, you know, like, leave their job and make a go at it, you know, and start a business and actually become an entrepreneur because, you know, I mean, the world exists on entrepreneurs, you know. It doesn't exist. I mean, those the big companies, they all started in somebody's garage. Or, you know, Apple started in somebody's garage. I mean, you know, Disney started with a guy drawing pictures, you know.
Am I
going to
have your mute button?
Oh, I just have one last question.
Oh, we're good.
Yeah, go ahead. Just so you've got the meeting great as well.
Okay, cool.
Just the future, what do you see next 5 to 10 years?
Well, couple things. I started a new business in Los Angeles. It's called Duff's Cake Mix. Oh, and what it is, it's really cool. It's a DIY studio.
Oh, yeah,
so we bake the cakes, cover them.
Yep.
Everybody that works there is a young cake decorator, like 18, 19, 20 years old. And then you come in, you buy a cake, and then we give you the cake, we give you all the tools, give you all the stuff, and you decorate it yourself.
Yep.
It's really cool. Mm-hmm. It's really, really... And so that, I'm really pouring a lot of my time and my resources into. That's going to go global.
I guess that's your legacy, too. I mean, that's your way of giving back, isn't it?
Well, it's that way everybody can come in and do it. Yeah. And the thing is, it's like, you know, it's in Beverly Hills, right? So, you know, it's a good place to start because, you know, it gets a lot of visibility. But, you know, you see these kids that come in from Beverly Hills and they're on their iPhones. And, you know, because we live in that society now. We're all just... We live in this digital world and... You know, it's kind of sad. You want the kids to put down the phone and do something creative or do something cool. And when they come in, they do. You know, and they put the phone away and they sit down and they decorate a cake.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it?
And it's so amazing to see, like, these kids. And these are, like, these are the kids of movie stars.
Yeah.
They've seen everything. They've got everything they could possibly want. And they sit down and decorate a cake and they get so excited.
Yeah.
And they do such a good job. And the sense of accomplishment that you see that they have is so real, and it's so, like, it's so fulfilling to see that, like, you know, people have let not just creativity but creation leave their life.
That's a very good point.
And with Cake Mix, they're bringing it back into their life. And I mean, you know, the thing is like, you know, I mean, you cook, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, we make things.
That's it.
You know, and it's like when I was a personal chef for this family, right? They were stock traders, right? They traded stocks, and you know, they would start out in the morning. They'd wake up and they have a certain amount of money in their bank account, and then they would play with numbers in a computer and make phone calls and do things, and then at the end of the day, they had more money in their bank account. And, hey, I could do it.
Yeah.
More power to them. They made a lot of money. They were loaded. But they didn't make anything.
That's the thing. There's no production of anything.
They didn't make a thing.
Yeah.
And you could maybe argue, well, they were investing in companies that made things, but they didn't make anything.
Yeah, just shifting things.
Yeah, And so the thing about, like, when you make a meal, or I make a cake or a meal, or, you know, whatever, we make some food, it's like, we started out with some raw ingredients. We started out with nothing, you know? Started out with an empty table.
Yep.
We filled it up. And when you filled it up, and then you fed people, and they ate. And, like, the thing is, that came from your hands, and it came from your heart, and it came from a place, like, it didn't come from a phone or a computer or a magazine or a television show or something else. It came from
invested
your hands.
Yourself in it.
Yeah. And it's just, you know, that's something that you know, we really, you know, these are great, but they are messing our lives up.
They are.
You know, we have to evolve, you know. And you know, it's I mean, look, I got one. You know, but here's the thing. Have you seen the Google Glass?
No, not yet.
I saw one one time. And I had a really violent reaction. I had to, like, restrain myself. I wanted to punch the guy. I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Why are you wearing a computer on your face?
Mm.
It's so weird. I don't want to be in that society. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Certainly like, down that way, isn't it?
Oh, man. I mean, just wearable technology is just... Do we really need that?
Yeah, it
scares me. We've been doing pretty good for several thousand years without having a computer on my face.
And your point about the creativity is a good point. I mean, where's it going? You know, where does it end? What's the end game?
Well, because, you know, you go to schools now and it's like you got kindergartners are prepping for college.
Yeah.
When they're prepping for college, they're not taking art classes.
Yeah.
The thing is, the reason why, and I can, you know, without sounding egotistical, but I'm very successful, right? And I've done well, you know, and I've made some good decisions. And some of them, I've taken some big risks, right? Really, like, I quit a job where I was making, I was 23, 24 years old, and I quit a job where I was making $75,000 a year, right? Now, $75,000 a year is, that's good money no matter who you are, but, like, when you're 23, 24, that is a lot of money.
Yeah.
And I quit that job to start a business. And that came from, I was a graffiti artist when I was young, 13, 14 years old. When I was 13 and 14, I was breaking into train yards. I was getting chased by the cops. I was getting beat up by other graffiti writers.
Yeah.
I was arrested several times. You know, like had a lot of legal trouble. You know, but not for anything bad. I mean, not for anything like violent or drugs or anything like that. Just for my art, for what I was doing, because it's illegal. You're not supposed to spray paint on subway trains. And when you're that young and you take those kinds of risks, that's those lessons. And I didn't think of them as lessons at the time, but as I look back on them now, I realize that, like, one of the reasons why, like, I have no regard for the rules is because I was such a rebellious artist when I was so young. And so what that gave me was the ability to not mind failure.
You know?
And, you know, like, you know, I mean, look, after you get arrested a few times, and, you know, get beat up by the cops or get beat up by some guy, like, what's scary?
Yeah, what's left?
I mean, you know, like right now, if all my bakeries went out of business, I got, you know, all my licensing deals went out the window, if I wasn't on television anymore, if I completely went bankrupt, completely, 100%, just, I think I'd land on my feet. I don't find that scary.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I can cook.
Yeah.
I can get a job anywhere in the world, in a restaurant. You know, I can definitely feed myself. And, you know, I can, you know, I mean, look, Donald Trump, how many times did he go bankrupt? You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, it's a good feeling to know, like, you know, that it's good to have fear. You know, it's good to be afraid. Like, I don't want to go out of, I don't want any of those things to happen. But if they do, I can deal with it. You know?
I guess also feeds into that discipline of what you're doing too, and in your food too, doesn't it?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah, being fearless with your food is really, really big. I mean, you know, I have a coconut curry. Coconut banana curry cake. It's just, you know, but like, you know, I mean, nobody will order it because it sounds a little weird. But what I was getting at with that is that, you know, they're taking art out of everything, out of all the school programs. You know, they take that art away. Same thing, they're taking athletics out. Yeah. And like, I grew up playing team sports. I played ice hockey, I played lacrosse, I played rugby, I played football. And, you know, when you play a team sport and you really, you know, for like when I was, from the time I was in second grade to when I graduated college, I was playing team sports. I run my bakeries like I'm the coach of a team, you know, and it's like we are a team of people that have a common goal.
Yeah, that comes across in the show.
Definitely. And and you know, that's those two things, the art and the sports that they're taking out of schools, that's the important stuff. Don't worry about the math so much, you know. I mean, everybody need to learn math.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm not saying don't worry about math, but there are larger concepts that kids need to be sort of inundated with it that in the long run will serve you more, like, than, say, calculus. Now, calculus is beautiful, right? Calculus is, it's you know, when you do it right, it's amazing. You know, advanced geometry is a beautiful thing. It's really cool. You know, I was also a philosophy major, so I tend to overthink things. But you know, it is. I mean, when you look at, you know, really, like, you know, like math can be very beautiful, but and it can lead to kids being inspired by that beauty. But when I don't think a child will be able to, well, I don't think a child will have the tools to be inspired by the beauty of mathematics without having an appreciation of creation and art. Yeah. Does that make any sense? Yeah, I know that sounds a little like we're getting a little off topic, but like it really.
Even if, like you say, they were influenced by you, and even if you inspired their creativity for something else, you've achieved something there. Because even if they're not in that discipline, they walk away and they apply it somewhere else. Man, you've made a difference.
Absolutely. Totally. Mm. Totally, totally. Yeah.
Especially in the society we live in.
Yeah, I know. So come on, guys.
I'll let you go, mate. Yeah. That's the vlog, mate.
Awesome. Cheers, mate.